Right now it is time to bring in Christian Thorne, Christian Dotter. I've made a name mixed up. And it's Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. I've been trying to reach you, Thorne, but it says you're there, but you never picked up.
I did, but it seems it didn't connect us. But yes, I'm here now.
Very bizarre. Well, anyways, why not? You know, 20 inches of snow on the ground, might as well have some problems like this. Well, anyway, so you all set there? Did you get about that the same amount of snow?
Honestly, I don't know. Everything outside my house is just white, so I can't gauge how much it is.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about something like this. Well, anyway, well, it's time for us to look at Main Street Magazine, and the February issue is out.
It is. It came out last week, and I believe it is delivered everywhere.
All right, so you can pick it up wherever you need to pick it up, and of course, it's accompanied by a fine website, MainStreetMag.com, and you can get more information from all the different stories there. We'll start off with a artist profile, and the story continues.
So CB this month featured a, you know, not your typical artist, if we can call it that, but she, Patty Ewald is her name, and she has quite the story quite the trajectory. I believe CB uses the term, let me find it here. Of course, when I'm looking to try to find it, I can't find it. Story arc. And he refers to her career in arts as a story arc. But, you know, her route to the Actors Guild is actually quite fascinating. And then what she did at the Actors Guild when Paul Newman kind of recruited her and how they wanted her, to work with their organization and improve it. And from there, she wrote a autobiography for Gordon Hensley Barrows.
It's, you know, I started to look at this story, but I have to admit, I immediately jumped to another story. Why? Because I interviewed Nancy Eaton. We have a nice arrangement with the Foundation for Community Health, where not only do we interview Nancy and a few of the other people that are involved, but they have set us up, which is great, with interviews with different people with projects that they are funding. They don't do all the legwork, but they do a lot of funding. One of them is the Weebatuck School District, but they were there, which was going to open up this year, but of course with the pandemic and everything else. So we speak with Nancy Heaton, and I remember when the Foundation for Community Health was formed, and Nancy's been the steward there really since the beginning. She was hired after they were initially formed, and it's really amazing the amount of good and the amount of money they put back into the community.
It really is, and I'm sure your listeners are well aware of the organization and what they do, but I was a little bit aware of them before the Christine interviewed her, but learning the depth of what they do and how far their tentacles kind of reach within our community is just amazing, and all the work that they do is just so wonderful for our communities.
Yeah, and it's wide and varied. It's not focused. And they even, during the opening of the pandemic, they even opened up funds for nonprofits. And like I know, we applied and we got financial relief. So it wasn't just medical. They really do serve the community and offer up funds to different projects. And as Nancy always explains to me, they don't do the legwork on the projects, but when the projects come to them, fully explain what they need and they approve it, they help with the financing of it, which nowadays is 9/10 of what you need when you're going to put a project together. Well, we'll leave that aside. We're going to leave that aside because we've got 20 inches of snow on the ground. We're meant to get possibly more snow Sunday into Monday this weekend, and then bitter cold weather is going to move in. So why not talk about food with Jesse Sheehan?
It's always a good segue.
Oh, it is. I mean, then what makes you feel better?
Not much. I was making a few things yesterday in the snow after we came inside. So, you know, I completely agree with you. It just heals the soul.
A Dutch baby pancake.
I got to tell you, since we put this up on our website last week and on our social media, we have gotten so many tags and different people who are making this, and it's just been awesome. And so we know for a fact in the last 4 days, well, maybe by now 5 days, that people have been making this left and right, and their photos are just as great as Jesse's of this pancake. So we're thrilled.
Now, your next story is very interesting. I was looking at an Elise Harney ad yesterday for a beautiful a beautiful house in Silo Ridge, okay? Beautiful, gorgeous house. I think it was $7.7 million. I said, wow, that's a lot of money. Nope. You've got a story, the biggest hits, the highest priced home sold in 2020. Number one on the list, Herrick Road in Sharon, $10,470,000.
Yeah, we've had some big sales this past year.
One through four are all $10 million. Then number five is lagging way behind at $5 million.
Yeah, what happened there, right? No, Christine said before she even worked on this that she, you know, obviously her not just being a writer for us, but also being a realtor, she, you know, has, and she's interested in real estate, has written for us, you know, since the beginning about it. So she always comes up with these little niche pockets of stories that are within real estate. So wait till you see the March story she's doing. But she's like, you know, there have been some pretty big sales. And she's like, I'd like to focus on, you know, go town by town and discuss each one. And so that's what she did here. And we actually had to add a page because she wanted to have a photo of each property that we're listing. And you know, she shares some insight into the property too, and who sold it, and you know, some of the uniquenesses of the house, you know, if it's a pool or, you know, historical or whatever it may be. So seeing some of these properties, where they're located and the price that they went for, you know, I found it to be quite interesting. And but you're right, the first, you know, four, you know, 10 million, that's, you know, those are big numbers.
You know, it's, and what's great about this article, I think everybody, it doesn't matter, it likes to look at houses. They do. It's like everybody likes to look at different recipes. But you see, you've got a great spread of pictures representing. And by the way, all the pictures are earmarked with the numbers so you can compare them to the house and what it sold for. And what I find interesting is you've got a picture of Saperstein's in there. Which was purchased for $647,000, but the amazing pictures, both exterior and interior, that you show. I remember, that's how old I am. I remember when the last house under $100,000 sold in Sharon. that was the last house that was under $100,000. Can you just and that was like I think it was like 30 years ago. It's amazing the real estate market, and how well we're represented by the different agencies up here. That's another thing, because we're in an area where people like to vacation and come to. We have just the most amazing real estate firms that are all handling all these things.
We do, and there are so many of them. And you'll see the representatives and sellers. In this article listed, it's not just one or two of them. It's quite a few of them. And, you know, in our region, we have a couple that are, you know, seem pretty dominant, you know, especially in pockets of towns. But we have quite the spread here of realtors. And so it's nice to kind of see that, you know, the sales, the money is being spread around kind of evenly amongst our, you know, neighbors.
Now, a story we're speaking with Oren Christendotter from Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web, and of course, free for pickup at locations throughout the tri-state region. We live in an area that is known for being compassionate and helping. I mean, that barn that was destroyed on GoFundMe, they raised $100,000+ in a matter of a week. We lost a transmitter here years ago, and in 5 days, folks chipped in $30,000 to buy a brand new transmitter for us. And you've got a story, one family's tragedy helps restore hope in a community. And we really are a fairly tight-knit community that likes to help people.
We really are. So this story is about Crystal Albright and her family. Griffin interviewed her, but she became a widow last year quite unexpectedly. And so she shares a story about what happened to her husband, Calvin. He had been sick and needed, I believe, it was a hernia operation. And as a result of COVID, they kept delaying it, and the insurance kept, you know, giving her a hassle. So she had to spend weeks, and I believe it was a few months actually, to try to, you know, work with the insurance companies to finally get his operation. So he gets the operation, and which was much delayed, which had caused it to have to be an even more extensive operation. And so he had to recuperate further in the hospital. And this is all last summer, I believe it was last June or July that he had the operation. Well, just a few short days after coming home, he wakes her up in the middle of the night, and he barely made it to when the ambulance arrived, and he sadly passed away. And this is not an old, you know, this is a young man with a young family. They have twin daughters, as you can see in their photo there. And as tragic and as horrible that is, you know, Crystal shares with us what happened after, and how the community rallied around her and came, and you know, everything from the small to the big, and what they all did to, you know, help comfort her and her family during that time. And there was a GoFundMe started. There were donations made. The local restaurants helped out. So I won't give it all away, but it's, you know, it makes you, it gets you choked up. It basically, you know, how the community really rallies when you need it to.
Well, those are just some of the stories in this month's edition. The first one, of course, we'll talk about more stories in the weeks ahead. Main Street Magazine, of course, pick up for free at locations throughout our area, and also mainstreetmag.com. Get out there. I guess you're going to enjoy the snow because you have to, because you got kids, right?
Oh, yeah. We were out on snowmobiles yesterday. I think we're going to go try to do some sledding and snow today.
All right. Well, have a good time, and we'll speak to you next week, Doran.
Sounds good. Stay warm.
Take care. Doran Kristen Dotter, of course, Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. You find them at mainstreetmag.com on the web.